This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Hold on to that hat today. The National Weather Service has issued a wind advisory. Winds of 25 to 35 miles per hour will be seen, with gusts up to 50 miles per hour. A cold front will also move through the region, bringing cooler weather to the area. By Wednesday, some of the areas may be seeing overnight temps in the low 30s.
Soybean market ended the week with double-digit gains. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says soybean traders ignored harvest pressure.
Which is surprising, because when you look out across the countryside, I think every combine that can possibly be moving on soybeans is. So we're seeing some good harvest progress taking place, but yet the beans kind of are disregarding the harvest and pushing higher. And I think there's a couple things that are pushing it. One of them is, of course, these huge stimulus packages that are coming out of China.
And the other factor may be slightly lower than expected yields.
I think we're seeing a little bit of disappointing yields coming into play, and that is helping to put some underlying support underneath this market as well. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some areas that will see the record yields and good production, but for the majority of the regions, they're coming in, as you say, as expected or a little bit less than expected. So that is, I think, helping to put some underlying support under it. Then we're also, you know, China's been buying. We've had some good export sales announced. And with their stimulus package, it's the expectation, of course, is that their demand will start to increase.
The 2018 Farm Bill expires as of midnight tonight. Crop insurance and federal nutrition programs are considered permanent law and are not affected. Certain programs do end immediately, though, including the market access and foreign market development trade promotion programs, specialty block grant programs, and federal grain inspection. There will be no new enrollments in CRP or EQIP, but technical assistance is available. If Farm Bill action isn't taken before January 1st, permanent law kicks in, and the government would have to pay parity price. For field crops like corn and wheat, those prices wouldn't kick in until the 2025 crop is harvested, making that extremely unlikely. However, price supports for milk and honey would begin with the new year. Milk is the commodity getting the most attention. Parity prices just shy of 50 bucks per hundredweight.
The East Coast and Gulf port strike is expected to begin tomorrow. The U.S. Maritime Alliance claims the union refuses to negotiate. These ports handle about half of the country's ocean shipments. If union workers walk off the job, it'll be the first coast-wide strike in 47 years. President Joe Biden is not expected to step in to prevent the strike.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was part of the G7 meetings over the weekend in Italy. Vilsack joined ag ministers from Canada, Germany, Italy, France, Japan, and the United Kingdom.
Very encouraged by the consensus and the synergy between what the U.S. is doing on a variety of fronts and what the G7 has suggested needs to be done in order to continue to approach the challenge of dealing with global food security, increasing agricultural production, and at the same time making sure that small and mid-sized farming operations are able to succeed, not just in the U.S., but around the world.
Vilsack was part of bilateral talks with other ag ministers as well. That includes meetings with Japanese leaders about expanding trade for potatoes and sustainable aviation fuel. Trade protocols for beef and pork products are also part of the discussion with European officials.
The National Farmers Union was represented at the G7 Agricultural Ministerial Meeting in Italy. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue, North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney, and Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wordish met with other ag leaders to discuss global farm policy.
The average price received by farmers nationwide for corn in the month of August was $3.84 per bushel. That's down from $5.73 1 year ago. Soybeans averaged $10.30 per bushel, down from $14.10 per bushel in August of 2023. Spring wheat averaged $5.39, down from $7.61 per bushel. The monthly update on farm prices puts the average price for beef calves at $2.90 per hundredweight, up from $2.72 a year ago. Steers averaged $1.92 per hundredweight, up from $1.86 a year ago. And market hogs at an average price of just under $68 per hundredweight, down from $74.30 one year ago.
Farm Service Agency paying out $2 billion of the $3.7 billion allocated under the Emergency Relief Program for 2022. According to a dashboard dealing the ERP payments, Texas received the most money at $447 million. In this region, South Dakota farmers received $178 million. Total was $115 million for North Dakota, $65 million for Minnesota. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Input costs continue to rise. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
Fertilizer costs are not ideal for the markets this year. University of Minnesota Extension nutrient management specialist and soil scientist Daniel Kaiser says soil testing can be the most beneficial tool to be the most efficient.
With our potash levels in the soil, specifically in the drier years, so they tend to be a little bit on the lower side. So it isn't a bad idea if you're kind of been wondering what's going on to maybe go out and get some samples. Because if you look at the value of soil testing, particularly we get years where we get higher fertilizer prices, you know, there's really good value there in terms of knowing what exactly you need.
Having the information about what nutrients you need can help decrease those input costs that are so vital this year.
You know, kind of good to know or have some information before you're making some of those decisions to see, you know, if this is an area we might be able to save a little bit on cost. I mean, if that's one of the concerns. So, you know, it does cost something, but I think it's still better than, you know, getting a few questions from some growers on some of these fertilizer additives that are supposed to increase availability. And when I start looking at the overall benefit of that versus soil testing, I mean, really soil testing to me wins every time. So I think that's one thing I'd be considering right now. If there's some fields you haven't done for a while and you've got some time, maybe aren't going to get any P and K down right away, maybe to get some samples pulled out of some of those fields just to see where you're at, where you can start looking at, you know, making some decisions with some actual information out of the field.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Economist John Newton, who is now the executive head of Terrain, has released a state-by-state report on farm profitability. North Dakota had the biggest downturn in the Midwest and Northern Plains for gross farm income last year, dropping 12%. Gross farm income was down 8% in Minnesota and down 2% in South Dakota. Farm expenses were high nationwide, including an uptick of 4% in North Dakota, up 7% in Minnesota, down 1% in South Dakota. When adjusted for inflation, net farm income declined a massive 38% in North Dakota, down 43% in Minnesota, and just 4% in South Dakota. Newton is the former economist for the Senate Agriculture Committee and had a similar role for Farm Bureau and the National Milk Producers Federation. Terrain provides economic analysis for Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Farm Credit Services of America, American Ag Credit, and Frontier Farm Credit.
The North Dakota Stockmen's Association's All Breeds Cattle Tour will be held tomorrow near Jamestown. Special Projects Director Jade Koski says the tour will showcase cattle breeders from the Jamestown area.
We got a great group of hosts this year. We got 7 different breeders that are going to be on our tour this year, but it's a great opportunity to get to see a bunch of different people who are all have the same thing on their mind, going out to look at some good cattle and meet up with some of the people they don't always get to see.
The tour is also a chance to see different breeds of cattle.
Some of the up-and-coming sires and stuff that people are using on their cattle, whether it be in the Simmental breed or this year we actually have a Gelby stop, which there hasn't been a Gelby stop in a while, so that's super exciting to get to see those different breeds.
A group of East Coast Democratic lawmakers has introduced legislation that would pay large-scale livestock farms to transition into specialty crop production or pasture-based livestock operations. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, Representative Alma Adams of North Carolina, and Representative Jim McGovern of Massachusetts want to use existing funds from the Inflation Reduction Act for that proposal. Climate smart agricultural policies supported by environment and animal welfare sectors are the foundation of that bill.
Ever Ag market analyst John Baer says choppy action is continuing in the livestock market.
We're seeing cattle have a pretty decent week, just bouncing off their lows that they've hit here a few weeks back. And Now we're up pushing some of those 100 and 200 day averages. Nice to see. Again, don't know how long term this will be, but we'll take it while it's here. Very positive week for both the grains and the cattle market.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Trade Mission to India is opening eyes to the market potential there for U.S. ag products. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Iowa Agriculture Secretary Mike Naig, who took part in the trip to India, says the visit was a great success and he's hopeful for the possibility of expanding the trade market there for American commodities.
We made two stops. We were in Mumbai on the southern and more western part of the country, which think of that as being like New York. It's very much a commercial hub. There's a tremendous amount of activity, import-export activity that centers in that part of the country. And then we're up in New Delhi, which is in the northern part, and that's more like Washington, D.C. That's the capital of the country and the place where you're going to talk policy and those types of things. Huge country. I think the word that I would just have to continue to use is potential.
India's large population makes it a prime candidate for expanding trade markets.
1.4 billion people, an economy that's growing, has the highest growth rate of any large economy in the world. They're a growing economy. However, they've got some real challenges when it comes to meeting the demand of their population in terms of food and protein in particular. Hard to get products into India right now. They're a very protectionist country. They really don't want to be importing. They want to be as self-reliant as possible.
Naig thinks protein could be a big seller there.
Most people think of India as being vegetarian. Not true. You know, as much as 80% of their population is non-vegetarian, and yet they can't meet that demand with protein. So really, I would just say in the animal protein space, it's everything from eggs to chicken, and yes, some pork, and even some beef opportunities that would exist there. They're not huge markets, but even if you just get 10% of 1.4 billion people interested in something that you're selling, that's a huge number.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
A bipartisan group of House members have introduced legislation calling for year-round access to higher blends of ethanol. The sponsors include Minnesota Democrat Angie Craig and South Dakota Republican Dusty Johnson. Under current law, there are limits on the availability of 15% ethanol blends during the summer. The EPA granted waivers in recent years, but a more permanent solution is being sought.
Number of turkeys raised in the United States this year is forecast at 205 million. That's up 6% from 2023. Minnesota is the top state in the nation for turkey production with 33.5 million birds. That's down 13% from a year ago.
Checking prices this morning as we start the week. Again, it is a crop report day. And also some positioning, obviously, with the end of the month, end of the quarter. The December Minneapolis wheat, 4 cents higher, 6.12 1/4. Chicago wheat, December, 4 cents higher. And KC wheat, a gain of 3 1/4. New crop corn unchanged, 4.18. March down a half penny. And November soybeans, 10.59, down 6 3/4 cents. January down 5 3/4 cents. Checking the farm calendar. NDSU's Department of Animal Science has a beef field day that will be coming up on Wednesday. It is a 11 o'clock start. Will be starting at the NDSU Peltier Complex. And the Minnesota AgriGrowth Council has its Ag and Food Summit November 7th. The Minneapolis Convention Center is the site for that event. Again, the Minnesota AgriGrowth Council, Mike Swanson from Wells Fargo, their keynote speaker. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.